Hello and welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
Doing all right. Doing all right. How about you, Craig?
I'm good. Yeah, it's funny. Every time we do like the intro to the podcast, I say, how you doing, Andy? And I don't ever like introduce myself. And so I'm like, I think some people probably listen to the podcast. They're like, who the hell is the other guy?
The less rambly, the guy that doesn't talk about the weather and things like that. Yeah. I just kind of wanted to cut right to the chase on this one.
There you go. Yeah, man. Good. I think we're going to talk about marketing in this podcast, and I have a lot of thoughts on marketing. We've talked about marketing a lot, and specifically like content marketing and inbound marketing. And yeah, there's a lot we've done wrong or like we've not optimized. There's a lot that has gone right, and we still have a lot of room to go on. And I think that's what we're going to be talking about today. Cause like marketing is so nebulous that unless you have like real specifics that you are trying to tackle and achieve, it just gets overwhelming. And that's coming from a marketing person. Like I can imagine how developers who are trying to get into this field, when, you know, people say to them, hey, you should do marketing. They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like that, what does that even mean? Like for me as like a sales marketing person, I even say like, okay, we have all of this stuff and we want to do more marketing. Like where do you even start and stuff? Yeah, I don't know. The more like concise version of that is we have been doing a lot of SEO and like content marketing stuff for a long time. And we're at the point where we feel like that channel is pretty optimized. Well, tapped, you know, like we've gotten the low hanging fruit there. Now where we are is trying to optimize the like conversion of people saying, hey, I want to research this topic, to like solving their problems and presenting our software as the solution to that problem. And I think that kind of we're calling this episode like cohesive marketing is the like challenge there. It's like, why is someone here? What are they trying to achieve? What pain do they have? How do you like position this piece and like the content within the piece to help like solve that problem? That sounds really easy, but I think all of us do really bad at that for the most part.
And to be clear, is this going to be different content, or are you sort of saying we're ranking for these topics, these keywords with these articles, let's improve the articles to now do a better job of converting to our product?
The latter, and even like how we approach talking about a topic to say like, hey, this is the topic, this is the problem that you reader might have, and this is the solution, and probably hopefully, you know, here's how our tool helps you solve that problem so that you want to sign up for our tool. You know, I just think like we've written a lot of content and we rank really well for a lot of things. And, you know, you mentioned like when you stop and look at it, you say, what the heck is the point of a lot of this content? For like a reader, like for a machine, I think it makes a lot of sense. But for a reader, I think sometimes it doesn't make as much sense.
Getting a little meta, it's like a lot of times it doesn't make sense. And part of it is a feedback loop in the SEO industry. And this is outside of software and everything else, but it's just like, if you look for reviews for anything, it's garbage. Because they're all just written by these affiliates who are hiring people who've never looked at the product, never used the product, or just looking at Amazon reviews at best to write content that ranks. And then they're buying expired domains, building some links maybe, and just optimizing the setup. And then more people that are looking to make money in the space see that that's what's ranking, and more people do that. And you get this situation where everything out there is bad. And so a lot of times if I'm looking for actual advice, I just add Reddit to the end of my Google query, because at least I can see a discussion. And it's more like, sure, there's ways you can astroturf that, and I'm sure there's things there, but like you can just read a conversation like, okay, like does this make sense? Is someone who at least seems like they know what they're talking about have used the thing? Whereas Google, I think in very many cases, is just so far gone beyond that because of how things have gone in like the affiliate SEO world. And I think when it comes to our side of it, it's not that it's that bastardized. It's still just like, okay, we're trying to write, we are writing helpful content, but how much of this is a vanity metric in terms of the traffic it generates? And like, if I remember, one of the examples that jumps in my head was, it was like pump up songs before, like top 10 sales pump up songs, like songs to listen to before jumping on a sales call. And it was like HubSpot ranks number one for that. And it's like, they just got so, the company got bigger. I mean, they're still very effective and a very profitable company, but like as the company got bigger, it was just like, and you start filtering down, not as though they're, maybe they're OKRs, I don't know, but like you start filtering things down from leadership all the way down. It just gets to the point where you have people writing content that has no chance of actually converting, but traffic is a goal. We need to rank for more keywords. And so like, all right, we'll find some keywords to rank for.
More. Yeah.
I think it gets in software, in our side of it, we can kind of get in a tough spot where review keywords, probably not going to rank for, just because Google knows when people are searching for a review, they don't want the subject of the review writing the review. So that alone makes it harder to rank for it. And there's more competition there because that's clearly a money keyword. And then it's like, we get left with things that we can rank for, but how commercially viable are they? And this is like the content marketing challenge is, okay, this is a content I can rank for. How far up the funnel is this? Is it even in the funnel? And if it is, how do I get them to where I need them to go? And I think with some of it, there's a clear path. But that the bigger thing, like going back to what we originally planned to talk about, is a cohesive content marketing, is just the more you can have a philosophy or a point of view on, here is, you want to start a podcast, here's what matters most. And we have a post on that. And yes, maybe that post doesn't drive a ton of traffic, but it's like, this is our philosophy. We're putting it out there. So then when we write about hosting, we're not just putting up some bullshit. Here's 27 hosts and we say great things about all of them because they pay us. And like, the one we like the most is the one that pays us the most. Like, no, like some of them you should say bad things about because they're bad. And even then though, it's like taking a step back and saying, how are we even evaluating this? How should I be thinking of this? Because it's where we get way too stuck in the SEO marketer mindset and don't actually think about what the person that lands on this page is trying to do. It's like, they're trying to start a podcast and you're not you, but like you're not helping them by just telling them that all these 12 hosts are best. Like, I don't even know like what I'm looking for. What's important about it? Like, they all have these same features. What should I be looking at? Maybe it doesn't matter. I should just go on price, like this and that. I think being opinionated is ultimately what I'm getting at. I think it won't necessarily make content rank better, but I think it'll make it convert better because no other content is opinionated in like the SEO world. And that's really what, especially someone new to a space, someone top of the funnel, that's what they need is they need someone to say, hey, don't worry about all these other things. Like, there's like the seventh review post you've read because none of the other ones told you anything. Here's what matters. Here's what doesn't. Here are a few good options there. Honestly, doesn't really matter. Flip a coin. Sign up for a free trial for all of them. See which one you like best. It can be a gut feel because they're all going to do fine. But just pick one and move on. Because when it comes to podcasting, what really matters is not necessarily the host for its own sake, but the host that makes it easiest to get started and the one that lets you continue with starting the podcast, because that's where people fall off. It's not that they pick a bad host and their podcast fails, it's that they don't continue with it. So let's focus on helping you stick with it. And I think it's that part of just not viewing the searcher as a person and thinking about like what they're actually trying to do is where a lot of the SEO stuff has gone.
100%. And it's like, we say all this, and I think that like you and I are pretty savvy marketers, right? And have done good work up until now. But I think we also both like admit that we've been like somewhat deficient in this respect. And I think the challenge is you have to write for Google to an extent, right? To rank, or the articles don't get any traffic and like they don't have any business impact. So I think it's that balance of like, be opinionated, be actually helpful, but also like, you know, have SEO in mind as you're writing. And I think that balance you can only achieve with an exceptional writer. right? Because they have to have that domain expertise to be able to pull that off. I think we have a very good writer and they podcast a little, but like, I think it's probably why like founders writing the first blog posts for their site is so helpful, like those pillar pieces, because like they have the whole picture, right? Like they understand marketing and SEO and the business objectives and the topic that they're writing about. And I think that's why, like, as we scale, maybe we've gotten further away from some of that stuff. Just thinking out loud. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the domain expertise is crucial, but I also think a lot of it is logic. A lot of it is copywriting. It's just, how do I make a persuasive argument? And founders should often have the domain expertise, but don't always have the other side of it.
And so not, I think, a lot of like content writers have like can write good copy.
Agreed.
Either. Like they're right. Good writers, but they're not good right. Copywriters.
Right. Because what is theoretically in my head the easiest way to sell is when you can have a cohesive opinion on the right way to do X. And it doesn't need to be super preachy or anything else, but when I say the right or the best or whatever else, it's more just saying like, okay, like if you're starting a podcast, the most important thing is literally just starting. So here are the three things, just like record your first episodes on this before looking at guests. Here are the first people to look at for guests, then do that. Like give them a playbook, even if it's not perfect, it's something because, and you can go back to this and like the argument is because the hardest part about having a podcast is starting and sticking with it. So let's simplify everything else, remove these decisions. And then you give someone a playbook that they can follow. And so even if you're the founder, even if you're a good copywriter, I think without having that point of view, it gets way harder to convert the more top of funnel prospects. And I think there's arguments about whether those are the people to try to convert or not. And I know before recording, we were talking about Ahrefs. And in my opinion, I don't think they do this well because I don't think they have to. I think the SEO market is so big. They don't have to get someone who's on the fence about learning SEO to commit to learning SEO. They can just say, hey, you want to, there's this thing in SEO, like how to research X, Y, or Z. We'll show you how to do that. Oh, you want to do something? We'll show you how to do that. Like they can just show you how to do all the things because they do them all. And there's enough people looking for better ways to do those things that will find it and be like, oh yeah, Ahrefs also just has an amazing product that has a huge moat. Like I'm going to sign up for this. And I think it's navigating where you're at, where for us in the DFS space, like we could get into some like really nitty gritty topics that do matter. And the people looking for those things don't need to be convinced of it. Like they know this matters. I'm looking for this for a reason. I show them why. I show them how to do it with our tool. And they're like, all right, awesome. I'm going to try it. Sign up for that. Our space is niche enough, like SEO alone. Like even if we go super broad on SEO, it drives traffic, but we're not going to get it on any of those advanced concepts because we barely get it on the broad ones. But it's like, as you go farther up the funnel, I think the more convincing you have to be. And it's like a Russell Brunson thing. Forget what one of his books it was in, probably .com Secrets, but it's like you want to lay out the argument in a way that if they believe everything you're saying, your product is the obvious solution. And I think in the internet marketing world, when you look at Facebook ads, when you look at all the other junk out there, people do that well, but their product doesn't deliver. And I think in our space, it's like we really care about the product and we're really trying to deliver on that. And so if you've built the product that really delivers, I think it's our job to be more opinionated about why this is the right way. And if you believe these things, like this is the obvious choice. If you think that the standard Excel projections that other sites are giving you are going to be enough to beat these massive fields with the fees that the sites are taking and everything else, like, awesome. Here are all the dozen reasons why that's not the case and why you need to understand the accurate range of outcomes that can come, why only a simulation can get that, and why the only optimizer can act on that is SaberSim. And like, if you believe these things, like we're the only choice there. I feel like it's that. That's what I talk about when I talk about like a cohesive marketing strategy is saying, if you believe these things, then we are the obvious choice. And then making sure all of our content reiterates those points. Easier, way easier said than done.
I mean, like, I think one, maybe what we're talking about is positioning, right? Like, I think maybe that could be the label you put on this is like, we believe this thing, this is who we are, and this is kind of who we help. Like, to me, that's positioning, right? April Dunford is the kind of authority on this. If we had guests on the show, we would have her on to talk about it, maybe, if she would take our call. And the other thing that I'm realizing as we're talking about this is like, we talk about like top of funnel, middle of funnel, and bottom of funnel. And I think that's really incomplete because like searcher or buyer intent and awareness is the other part that is at least as important, because you were talking about Ahrefs, and like, as you were saying that, I was like offended because I was like, I feel like they write a ton of really great bottom of funnel content. And I don't know if that's right, because me as a buyer, I'm super like, I'm past like the problem.
Yeah, you're not trying to be
solution aware.
Exactly.
I'm at like the, I mean, we're a customer, but I'm at like product aware plus. And so like, and that's across all of the different types of, you know, features that they have. And so like, that's why I think they do such a good job. It is bottom of funnel, but it's also like solution marketing. That's not the right term, but I don't know.
What I would say is, my point is, their funnel is so large because the space is so big that their bottom of funnel still, like, they can only focus on the bottom of funnel and still drive a ton of traffic. And we don't have that. And it's like, that's the thing is, like, I think they do a very good job with their content, but I don't think it's not as applicable to you, and it's not at all applicable to me, because like, podcasting is growing and podcasting is a huge sphere, but it's like literally every business nowadays knows they need a website, obviously, and like SEO is a thing that they have to consider. So it's once you get to a certain scale, you're going to hire someone to look at this. You're going to hire an agency. You're going to hire all these things. So even if you're a business owner who's not going to buy Ahrefs directly, they're going to educate them, the business owner, the buyer, like, they're going to be authority. Like, that's important, but it's because millions of people are past they're not on the fence, they're over it. They're already like, yeah, I know I need this. You guys clearly know your shit. I'm going to pick you. Whereas that's what you have to think about, is figuring out just like where, how, because I think honestly, is that content easy, right? Not at all. And they do a good job of that. But it is, I think Ahrefs, this might be an unpopular opinion, I think their marketing is fine. I think their biggest moat is their product, because no one can catch up to that. I could spend tens of millions of dollars to build the crawlers to get all the data, but I cannot get the historical data that they have. I literally cannot catch up. I could buy Semrush or something like that, and like, but you just can't get the things that are past. And so for Ahrefs, it's like, they don't charge enough for what they have. And I don't think they understand why they're as successful as they are. And it's because of the product. And yes, their marketing is good, but it's because they do product marketing. I don't even know how much content, like, yes, they do rank for a lot of keywords, but it's because they are saying, hey, we do this, we do that. And they do a lot of things. And they do a lot of things that people know they want to do. And oh, when I search for these three things, Ahrefs does all of them, I'm just going to sign up for Ahrefs. Like, that's sort of it. Is this the product? And that's, in my opinion, they are a great example of product marketing.
And I 100% think agree with that.
What we're struggling with, or at least talking about, is beyond that. It's like, we're saying we want to do more top of funnel stuff. And honestly, like, one of the bigger realizations I've had recently is, I think I talk a lot about not falling into the trap of focusing on the wrong kind of customer, but I think it just pulls you back in, because there's so many more people that are on the fence. And even then, it's like, you think about ways to, someone's not even on the fence, or on the other side, you're trying to like pull them over, and you're spending all this effort to get them there. And it's like, no, like, just build something really great on the other side of the fence, so that more people are going to want to get off the fence, and the ones that are off are going to want to stay there and spend more time and money there. And that's something, like, I think this touches, like, gets to the root of, where it's just, how much juice is there to squeeze from some of these keywords?
We obviously don't have the answer. I don't think, like, I don't even think I can. I mean, I think we've tried to, I've tried at least, and you've done a better job to explain the problem of like cohesive marketing. It's like funnel stage and buyer awareness and inbound marketing versus product marketing. Maybe even, I guess, suffice to say, like, the thing that we've realized, and I think it sounds like you have too, is like, just think about the purpose of each piece of content, you know, and like where you want it to sit for like funnel stage and buyer awareness stage and product versus awareness, you know, kind of marketing. And then once you do that, then you can start crafting better content to serve that specific purpose. But like to think that, hey, we're just going to write this piece and you don't, I think this is like a disservice. Like we just don't talk about it. Like we don't say, okay, this piece is about this and it's for this type of person. It's so they can achieve this and the CTA should be this and blah, blah, blah. Like,
and here's how it fits into everything else we talk about.
Yeah. Like it's just super complicated. And like, I mean, our content briefs to our writer 100% don't include any of that shit. And that's just like, I think if we were doing our job right, like it would. So
no, and I think you're in an area where, again, there's a ton of stuff you can write about that drives traffic, and I have
totally the, worthless. The, like most, sure, totally
but
like worthless.
But at the same time, so I think it, for us, it's a challenge, but it makes it easier for me to like think about things like this, where it's just okay, like we're going to publish this video that lays out what we like our philosophy on Daily Fantasy Sports. Every single piece of content we create after that will reference this, will be built on like, these are the principles. This is why we built SaberSim, is because the other tools don't do X, Y, and Z well. This is why it's important. And then we're going to create more specific content like, okay, here's how to apply that to NBA. Here's how to apply that to MLB. And we're going to have sort of a cadence that will go through and update content, create new content. But that's because we're not really concerned with SEO. And so I just can put my blinders on and just not worry about all these other topics because I can just think more from first principles. Like, no, these are the things you need to know to beat MLB DFS. No one's searching for other things. So it's not as though like I'm trying to figure out how to cover that, how to cover this. And that lets us stay a bit more focused. But I think the secondary point, which is definitely another topic and one I know we've talked about, but it's that idea of, again, you can optimize for conversion rate, but if the people that are going to that post are not at all the right fit, you don't want more of them coming in. And this is something that I've thought a lot about as we get very close to the next quarter and start going to planning there. A lot of what I thought about prioritizing really wasn't geared towards our ideal customer. And I think there's a balance. I always talk about like a balance where it's like, you don't want to go too far in any way. And this is no different, but you don't want to ignore those people on the fence. And I think what you do is you improve the product, improve the automated emails and in-app stuff and everything else to get as many of those over the fence as possible. But you don't lose sleep over the ones that don't quite make it. Instead, you just say, okay, if you can't get over that hurdle, this is not the right fit. But once you're here, let's find ways to get you more successful. And I think part of the way of doing that is, as you go earlier in the funnel, it's not thinking about conversion rate, at least the immediate conversion rate, and it's more thinking about what can we do to get someone to raise their hand and say, oh, I actually could be a serious prospect. And it's why the enterprise sites that we all hate, mainly because we can't afford them, where they just have like the requests for a price and all those other things. It's like, yeah, if you don't want to go through all those hoops, you are probably not their customer. And I'm sure some of them go too far with it. But at the price points they're at, if you just want to start a free trial yourself, like that's not who they're looking for. That's not what their business is built around. And they've just accepted that. And I think that's where the trap we fall into a lot of times is not doing the same thing of saying, all right, like I could get a bunch of people in the door, but like, do I want them there? And the more successful companies, I think, realize no, and then they just don't like try to entice them in.
Yeah, 100% agree. It's super interesting topics. I mean, I think that like that cohesiveness is just so important. And it's just hard as like, kind of goes back to our previous episode of like, as all of this stuff is happening in the business, you kind of lose sight of like the intentionality of around a lot of this stuff. So I hope everyone found this helpful. I think it was a little rambly, but like, I mean, it is what we're struggling with. So always good to share.
Awesome. Well, it's fun, Craig. Yeah. I hope people got some value out of it. If anyone has any thoughts or disagrees or agrees or whatever, just literally any thoughts at all on this, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can always email us at podcast@seekingscale.com. But thanks everyone for tuning in. Talk to you next week.